Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Glamour audience. Thank you for joining us. You may be able to hear the cheering. Someone's just scored something at Wimbledon. We are not in the pod cupboard this week. We have gone so glamorous. We are on the rooftop at the media centre of Wimbledon, right in the thick of it. We are so excited, and we're going to be hosting the wonderful Claire Balding and talking about, we're going to be arguing about animals, we're going to be arguing about meddling in other people's business and all sorts, so stay tuned. Welcome to Glamour Hey, It's Okay. My name is Jo Elvin, I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Glamour, as most of you know, I think, and today I'm joined by cupboard wonderkind, Kat Brown, social media editor.
So wonderful, Jo.
Hello. Who's really enjoying the tennis today. And of course, we are here to meet an absolute legend. We are so thrilled she's found time in her busy commentating schedule. BAFTA award winning, OBE getting, broadcasting sensation, national treasure, Miss Claire Balding.
Hello.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was...
It was easy for me to be here. You're the ones that... I was already here. I was working.
And so how many goals have been scored today, Claire?
I mean, I love the fact that something's been scored over there. So they're clapping,
but
they're cheering.
But it is a score. Come on, it is.
No, the umpire gives the score.
Oh, man.
But you, as a player, you're probably going to...
Well, I was worried about clapping Claire, because I was just like, is this like concerts? Are you allowed to clap?
Yes, in between points.
Good. Okay, we clarified
that. No, luckily here on the roof, you're kind of allowed to do anything.
Right.
But yes, improving for a winning shot. You say,
are you allowed to do anything? Literally, I've lifted up my skirt to around my thighs under this table because it's so damn hot.
I thought you meant you'd done it standing up while Tim Henman walked past.
I don't want anyone to get too excited, but I'm literally fanning my own thighs here with my big, heavy skirt that I should not have
worn. How on earth do you cope with this, every day, this sort of heat? Because you, listeners, you obviously can't see, but Claire looks fantastically cool as though she's surrounded by a personal wind machine, but without the hair moving. How do you manage it?
Because mainly I'm inside in the office and it's got air conditioning.
Have you had all those celebrity underarm Botox injections that I hear about that stop people sweating?
No way. Do people do that? But then the sweat's got to come out somewhere.
Wow.
They might end up like a dog.
That's your business.
If it was a dog and the only place you sweated with your tongue, how weird would that be? Because you'd put Botox in everything else.
Just walk around panting and getting arrested pretty
and dripping.
Yeah. Oh, and the other one I heard is sanitary napkins under the arm.
No, I do know that, and a lot of men do that actually, because he knows all about that. But I don't have such a problem with the sweating. I have a problem with showing the cold.
I see. I understand.
You know what I'm saying.
And is the solution many layers of tape?
The solution is either a bra that actually has, you know, that isn't completely thin, you know, that actually has something there that covers them, or cotton wool, or a very loose shirt.
So next time you see Claire Balding commentating the sport, you'll know what's going on. You know all the secrets, all the tricks of the trade.
That's it.
So tell me, how is it, is this Wimbledon, this is probably, I mean, it's the most quintessentially English event, isn't it? Is that the most exciting for you, or are there other ones that excite you more?
I know, I do love coming here. And I first came here in 1995 for radio as a junior reporter. And Pete Sampras won the men's. I think Steffi won the women's.
Probably.
And the weirdest thing I remember about that year is Tim Henman got defaulted in the doubles playing with Jeremy Bates because he accidentally hit a ball girl with a ball. Now, I love Tim Henman, and that's why it made me the image of you lifting your skirt, Tim Henman, makes me laugh. He is the funniest guy, and he's the politest man on earth.
Yeah.
So it was so unusual, and I was on the late shift, and I had to cover that story. Anyway, so I first came in 1995. I did every single year since for radio, until the year that Andy Murray won, when bizarrely I wasn't here.
But maybe that's why.
I came back for telly. So remember, the last 3 years I've
I remember
done
saying
telly.
To Judy Murray that I'm sorry, I watched Andy Murray and I think that's why he didn't win. And she says, you sound like my mother. Like, I felt like the jinx, and I left early last year when he did win. So, yeah. It was last year.
So
wasn't
should, yeah, it was yeah. last year. He's defending yeah. champion. Yeah,
amazing.
Absolutely. He is extraordinary, and I think he is such a good story for anybody in this country or any other country, actually, who kind of thinks, well, why would I be able to do that?
Yeah.
Because Andy Murray has never thought, why would I be able to do that? He's always thought, I can do that.
Yes.
And he has not come from a particularly privileged background. Yes, his mum knew not about tennis and was a tennis coach. He grew up in Dun Lane. Obviously, what happened at his school was, would have destroyed most people. His huge advantage was he had a big brother who was better than him, so he tried to keep up with Jamie.
I think Judy Murray is a bit of a personal Jesus of mine.
You should do her for this podcast.
Judy, she's on the list.
She is brilliant.
But my favourite, I should probably let her tell it on the podcast, but when she got some very hard to get coaching job with the tennis association where they live, and a guy who didn't get it wrote to the association to complain and said, I mean, what's a woman with two kids got to contribute to tennis?
Oh.
I mean, it's brilliant. It's
the world number one in singles and the world number one in doubles. Well, that's what she's got to contribute. Yeah.
Yeah, Serena Williams just needs to have another kid and for both of them to grow up, and then that question could be answered again. I never realised what the Williams sisters' like background was in terms of how they learned how to play tennis and everything. Because thinking about people that didn't come from like supremely privileged backgrounds, but who just worked incredibly hard. Mm. To what extent do you think just having that kind of work ethic really contributes to making it great?
I think sport in theory is... That sounds like Joe's been drinking.
Don't be alarmed. Yeah.
It's just a bottle of Pimm.
Yeah.
Sport in theory is the perfect meritocracy. But in reality, you have to have the opportunity. You've got to have the facilities for whichever sport it is you play. Now, the wonderful thing about football, and the reason it's the most popular sport in the world, is all you need is a ball. And I've seen kids in Africa playing with plastic bags tied with string to make into a ball and still practicing football and playing and with stones for goalposts, you know. So they can do that anywhere. With tennis, you do need a court, you do need a racket, you do need a net, and you do need a limitless supply of balls. And you do. You're right, though.
Yeah.
Commitment should get you a long, long way. And actually, commitment is more important than talent. There are a load of kids who would be the best in their age group when they're 10. They are not necessarily still on tour when they're 20. Because actually, the ones that were struggling at 10 know what it's like to struggle, and they can still do that at 20.
That's really interesting.
And I do think that if you can learn to cope with the repetitive nature of training, the boring stuff. If you can learn to do the boring stuff, it's just like work. The boring stuff actually is what gets you to the glamorous stuff.
Totally.
You know, because life is not all glamour awards.
And it's painstaking attention to detail, and it's diligence, and it is sticking out the crappy bits.
And it's seeing yourself as well, because I think the Williams sisters will have inspired so many black kids into just going, okay, well, I can not only play tennis, but I can also get involved and kick everybody's ass whilst we're at it.
Billie Jean King always said, if you can't see it, you can't be it.
Yeah.
And she's the woman who basically invented professional women's tennis.
And that's where the class system does come into play, isn't it? It's like, you know, if you've got somebody who's telling you you can, or someone telling you you can't, it's a tough one.
Well, because there's, moving away from tennis for a minute, but there is a new series on Netflix, which is like a pony series, all about horse riding.
Oh, I've heard about this. I haven't seen it.
Free Rein, wonderful punning title. But the lead actors are all black, and one of them has got, there's a girl just hanging around the stables who's an English Indian girl. None of this is ever mentioned at all. It's just completely taken as read. And it's just absolutely lovely, because like there are some black kids where I ride in North London and some in South, but like all areas of horse riding and equestrianism are still so dominantly white.
Yes.
But it's just brilliant just to sort of go, oh, well, I can see myself in this area now. Maybe I'll check that out.
And actually, I do a lot for Ebony Horse Club, which is in Brixton.
Yes.
And we had some of their kids up at the golf club last weekend, because my wife, Alice, is the lady golf captain this year. And it was her lady captain's golf day last Saturday.
Fabulous.
And she was raising money for Ebony. So we got them to bring a pony, and we all had to play guess the weight of the pony. Anyway, these kids came from everything. The sweetest letter from them afterwards, or email them, the woman who was driving the back said, you should have heard the conversation in the car. They said it was really good for themselves to get out of Brixton and to meet other people who had things to talk about and who smelt really nice.
Oh!
And they ate loads of food because they were given free rein at the halfway house, and they were really great kids. And one of them was saying he was going to work in the stables actually this summer. Now, he comes from one of the roughest council estates in London, which means one of the roughest in the country, and had very little ambition because he actually didn't see the opportunities that might be there. Starts working at this tiny, tiny little stables, which is the cleanest stables, cleanest yard I've ever seen, because they groom and sweep and clean for, you know, every day. And now that's what he wants to do. But he's also going into the army. So he's suddenly got this whole thing about discipline and cleanliness. And maybe it was him that said they smelled so nice and they were clean.
And some self-belief.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a key. Yeah. What about you, Claire? I mean, you do so much in terms of sport. Is there one sporting event where you think, oh, God. Do you know, are there sporting events that don't excite you as much? Are there sports that you think,
well, I tend not to do them now.
Right.
So the ones that I would have done in the past that weren't quite as thrilling as Wimbledon or the Olympics or the America's Cup, which I've just done in Bermuda, you know, I'm not doing them anymore because, you know, I'm very lucky I'm in a position where I only do what I want to do. So consequently, I have a very quiet time through the winter, so I tend to do very little on telly between November and March. Then I pick up again in March and I'm pretty busy until September, October.
So warm sports.
But my idea would be golf.
But I love winter. But I love golf.
I'm sure you do. I mean, you're very loyal to Alice, but I just think if someone said, you know, if it was like you have to do brain surgery for beginners, Joe, or golf commentating.
Okay, ready. Oh, sorry. We're going to pause because I've got all these ball boys and ball girls waiting, which we thought was going to take half an hour to make happen.
Okay.
No pause problem. It and I will come back. Sorry, I had to run away there.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was running downstairs, something with balls.
Yeah.
No, they had eight ball boys and ball girls waiting for me downstairs who'd just come off court. And I was using them for the trail for today at Wimbledon. So they were doing all my player names for me. So one would say Roger Federer, one would say Novak Djokovic, one would say Carl Edmonds.
Oh my God, so you've just got to be flying by the seat of your pants all day around here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But there's a lot of wait and go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
hang around, suddenly you're busy.
Yeah.
A bit like an actor.
Yes.
A lot of that.
Amazing. So what time will you get to leave here today?
I will leave at 9:30.
It's a very busy media setting here, so you're going to have to forgive the sound quality, guys. But so, Claire, this is what we do. Hey, it's okay. We talk about all sorts of topics and whether or not they're okay or not. And it very much is like the spirited, I would say, spirited debates we have in Glamour Features meetings and just all day in the office. So, Claire Balding. Is it okay to prefer animals to at least some people?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not even debatable.
Yeah.
Have you had a feature on that yet?
No.
Okay,
maybe you could write
yes,
it.
Yes, I
you
think I should. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I've written on women's sport for
you.
I think I should write that feature.
Yeah.
And actually, I know many people who will contribute to that feature.
Yeah, I think most people prefer
your friend
animals,
and mine, Emma Freud, has just got a new bunny rabbit who I met on the day that it came to her house for the first time. And there's no doubt she prefers the bunny rabbit to pretty much all of her family.
Except you and me. I think she thinks we're the best ones.
Does she?
No,
I think
you, me, and the bunny rabbit.
No. The bunny rabbit's top.
But is this novelty factor or just...
Yes, she's quite... Yeah, no, she's quite... Yes.
But it's the unconditional love, isn't it? Every time.
But also, I think it stops Emma having more children. I think that's why. And I always say to people, gosh, for couples, definitely, get a dog. At least before you have children, indeed instead of.
We were saying in the office the other day that it does seem to be in these millennial times when people aren't having sex and they've got too much of a mortgage to pay off, that people are using animals as the band-aid in a relationship in the way that children used to be used.
Oh, no, I didn't mean use it as a band-aid.
No,
I
but
meant
that is what's happening.
Use it as a way of getting to know each other and whether actually you can commit. When Alice and I were getting serious, as it were, I remember stealing up the courage to ask her if we could have a dog. I remember that, and that was like the biggest question I was ever going to ask, was can we get a dog? Please, let's get a dog.
But it does depend on the circumstances, doesn't it? Because you've got a gorgeous dog, Joe.
Oh,
but you're also quite close to parks and fields and everything, and it can be difficult, particularly
in dog
London.
Is the best living creature alive today.
What breed?
She is a Jack Russell Shih Tzu cross.
Oh, nice.
A Jack Shit.
Very good.
And she is very cross.
She does look like a little Ewok. And my husband, my daughter and I spend an enormous amount of time trying to be the favourite one. But it's Ross every time. She adores Ross. She adores
Ross. Well, she might be a little tart, you see.
Yeah.
Little, you know.
Yeah.
Is she having puppies?
Oh, no. She's an old
lady.
She's
spayed. Oh, she's
an
old
lady. Yeah, she's a grumpy old lady. Yeah. Hi, Bella. She listens. Like, she's an avid Hey, It's Okay listener.
My cat is neither of those
things.
She
should write that feature, actually. Your cat. Now, cats are interesting. We had a cat. Well, Alice
had a cat.
Are
they really?
They are, because I think they really don't give a damn.
No, they really don't.
Yeah, so, can confirm.
Yeah.
And therefore, the competitive nature of trying as a family to become the cat's favourite one, you will all lose. Because the cat doesn't care.
Yeah. The cat just sort of like looks at you with a raised eyebrow. Oh, you're here, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have to live here? Yeah.
But even though she has certainly attacked me physically more than anybody who is actually human, I still love her more than some people, just because she's really fluffy. She keeps me company, and she knows when I'm ill, probably because my body temperature's raised and I become a more satisfactory cushion. But then she'll spend the whole day with me, and it's really comforting.
Oh, that's nice. I think also it's pretty easy to prefer animals to family members, because you have at least had some choice in your animal selection. And I definitely grew up in a family that preferred the animals to us, to me and my brother. Sure.
Animals can't put embarrassing right-wing memes on Facebook.
No.
So there's that.
Or tell you that they're voting Brexit.
But why is it that... I mean, obviously, as Britons, we are, and Australians, we love our animals very, very much. Mm. But why is it that it is sort of acceptable to like animals more than some people? Is it because it's a sort of
we're honest?
Thing?
No, we're just honest cats. Aww. It's just an honesty thing.
Because I think animals are so sort of pure. We just find them so pure and trusting, you know. And that kind of breaks my heart a little bit for animals sometimes, because not everybody is nice. That
no,
most animals
no.
Are,
there are some animal charities that probably have more money than they know what to do with,
because
we feel so much that we need to look after everyone. But having said that, I did buy Alice a donkey for Christmas from the Donkey Sanctuary.
Oh.
You know, sponsor a donkey. I mean, she doesn't got the whole donkey. It's not living with us in our garden.
I'm disappointed.
No. Stop. We get sent regular updates though from the Donkey Sanctuary.
A lovely name.
Zena.
Oh,
she's called Zena.
Zena, the donkey princess.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Exactly.
But is it like? I bought my daughter a sponsored tiger, but then I've realised they've basically got three tigers and they tell everybody they've sponsored them.
Of course.
So, everyone's the favourite.
That's the clever thing to do. It's a very good business model.
But you've got a dog, right? So, Alice said,
Archie.
Yes, we can have a dog.
Oh, yes. And we've had Archie for 12. He's 12 now.
Oh,
yes. But the first dog we had, Percy, he died. He got hit by a car.
Yeah,
and that was absolutely soul-destroying. I still sometimes, when I'm falling asleep at night, I wake up with a shudder.
I can't think about it.
And I see it again. And it was just awful.
Oh, I might get Bella taxidermied when that happens.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Claire Baldy, you are so supremely overqualified to answer this conundrum for us. Is it okay to be sporty, but be not that bothered about watching sport?
I think lots of people who are sporty don't like the idea of sitting down for however many hours it takes to watch 5 days of cricket.
What if you're not sporty?
2 weeks of Wimbledon.
Or don't particularly watch much sport.
Well, that's how Netflix gets watched.
Indeed.
Yeah.
There's something for everyone there. You can watch a documentary about it many years later.
Well, I'm into Glow, and that's about wrestling. So that qualifies as sport.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah,
Glow.
It's a story based on the true 80s.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
I make lists of things to watch on Netflix because I find it quite difficult to navigate.
But
you can't easily find
word of mouth Rex.
Yes.
And this is Glow. It's about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, which was a television show in the 80s.
Okay, I've got on here, on my list, I've got Designated Survivor, Line of Duty from the beginning, which I am doing from the beginning, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and now I've got Glow. Obviously, I've watched The Crown.
Yeah.
And what else?
I think, what
Free
do you Rain.
Free, yeah. Oh, Free yeah. Rain.
Everything
yes,
in it is completely wrong.
Okay.
But everybody in it is also a delight. So
you see, because it annoys me when they get horsey things wrong.
Apart from the fact that there is a cob who misbehaves a lot. That's probably accurate.
Because it annoyed me on episode 8 of The Crown, which is the one that, where they do the racing. And there were so many mistakes that I got quite annoyed with.
Well, that is annoying, though, isn't it? Because, for you know, they spent a lot of money on that
show. I know.
They should have got a horse expert.
Things like plastic rails. Plastic rails didn't come until about 1990.
I did actually have quite strong opinions on the whole not liking watching sport, because obviously we're here at the heart of Wimbledon and I'm having such a lovely time wandering around watching everybody having the best time. Tennis has never really grabbed me.
And really?
I've run a marathon, I ride twice a week, I do yoga.
What do you watch though? What sports do you watch?
I've been to Olympia once, but I'd rather do it than watch it.
I've been very, very spoilt with my Wimbledon experiences and I often see the finals
David
and the semi finals. And yes,
David Gandy.
Hi, Dave. But, just the feat of it is incredible. My eyes are glued to the speed of the serves on the little speedometer and stuff like that.
I think there are some sports that are beautifully suited to television, and obviously tennis is one of them because you get so much face time with the players and you really see their emotions. So they're not wearing hats, they're not wearing goggles, they're not in the water, they're not far away from you, they are right there. And even if you're there in the stand, you can hear them. So actually as a live sport, to sit and watch, it's more satisfying than many because it's right there in a very contained space. Whereas some sports, like the America's Cup, which I've just been covering, to watch that live, I think must be deeply frustrating, but I think most people just turn up early and they start drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
They seriously do. And most sporting events, that's what people do.
But
if you want to watch the sport, watch it at home on the telly. Yeah. You will see way more. I love golf, but I don't ever want to try and watch a Ryder Cup as a spectator. I either want to be working on it, commentating on it, which I have done, or sitting at home watching it, because I want to see five matches at the same time. And you can only do that if the telly's hopping around and showing you.
You've got all the best seats.
And the thing about tennis, and I don't want to upset anyone when I say this, but even for me, who's not that sporty, it's not particularly complicated.
No, it's not difficult.
So, you know, you can pretty much work out what's going on.
Although, I was asked yesterday.
Let's just be cool, everybody. Yeah. Just be cool.
I mean,
this is so exciting.
I'm having flashbacks to being 10. This is amazing.
Okay. Somebody did ask me yesterday about the scoring system, why in tennis is it 15-30-40 game, and I think it was to do with the clock face, but why it's 40 not 45 I don't know.
Look, it's just, you know, let's be British and not ask. We're not supposed to ask.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of just, if you're going to watch something, just drink a lot and it'll just make everything more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be my answer. But obviously I do make my living from people watching sports, so I quite like them too.
Isn't it?
90th anniversary here of the BBC covering Wimbledon.
I mean, isn't that extraordinary?
It is.
That's like, to be part of that heritage.
It's been around that long. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, almost as long as me.
Not quite, Joe.
So I think, I don't know what we decided there. I think, you know, that's okay. Everyone just fly their own freak flag when it comes to what sport they do and don't like.
Some people like listening on the radio to cricket, particularly TMS, or to Wimbledon and the radio coverage of Wimbledon. I worked on for many years and I loved listening to it. I was meant to be presenting it, but I just find myself listening.
That as a veteran of Australian summers where literally all that was on three channels for 6 weeks of the year was cricket. It ain't cricket.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't even stand saying cricket. Right, this one. Yes. I think, you know, we need to sort out this. I think we're all going to have very strong opinions on. Is it okay to meddle in other people's business?
This is so exciting.
You know, I'm a bit of a hard pass no. But
Do we need to perhaps define exactly what other people's business is?
Yeah.
Okay, here is my view on this. I am a great giver of advice on other people's life decisions. I spent actually an hour this morning doing exactly that with somebody who's about to make a big sort of life choice, and I was therefore freely offering my advice.
Oh my God, how can you stand the pressure of that?
Because I love it. Okay. I love other people's problems. The thing is, he hadn't actually asked me to. Now, as it happens, I've given him quite good context, and I think he's quite grateful, but I know when I get home and I say to Alice, I had this long conversation, and I said this, and I said that, and I told him he should do this, she will look at me and say, did he ask you for advice? And I'll have to say no. because I'm constantly doing that, giving people, particularly career advice, not so much relationship advice, unless I think someone's a complete dick, in which case I will tell them. So you can't go out with him. He's just an idiot.
Oh, no, I don't do
that. Oh, I do.
Because I don't want to ever be the enemy. Because I
Well, I was, because my friend then went and married him.
This is what I'm saying. It's like, I have done that.
She did then divorce him.
Oh, okay. Well,
she divorced him then. Yeah. And then I was right. But for 4 years, it was tricky.
That's quite a long game, isn't it?
I just can't, because then it's very awkward and uncomfortable when they know you don't like them and they've stayed. Unless I strongly suspect there's something really toxic going on. I will stay right out of that.
The other trick is, are you really sure about him?
Right.
Because I'd love to, you know, and obviously, and I can get away with a little bit more because I can always say, obviously, I don't know. I've got no clue about men, but are you really sure?
That's
the kind of, you know,
put it back
angle out. Yeah.
I think I ask a lot of questions, and then in a way that I'm hoping in my pseudo-therapy way will make them say out loud kind of what they're thinking anyway and come to the conclusion themselves. But I have never, hand on my heart, I could never say, I think you should dump him. I think you should quit your job.
I just
can't do it.
I'm a big one for persuading people to take bigger risks than they're
considering. Persuading is great. It's not like you're laying down the law, basically, but you're sort of giving those little feeders into them. To sort of, like you were saying, Joe, about sort of going, are you sure, or anything like that. Just sort of making people think more about it. Whereas I kind of think meddling is almost a little bit more behind the scenes and sort of thinking that you know more than everybody else. And I'm not so
what do you do when your mother tells you something that she knows she shouldn't have told you?
I've got three siblings and there's this constant game of pretending that you don't know things, and you know, it's really exhausting actually. So this is why I don't want to be part of the meddling by then adding the things that I know that people don't want me to tell anybody. Oh my god, I'm actually going to throw my head on the desk just thinking about this right now.
I sort of have a different compartment in my head for anything that I know that I'm not really supposed to know. If it's something I know I'm not supposed to know and it's quite glorious gossip, then I'll luxuriate in it for a bit. But then it goes into the same sort of drawer underneath the bed in my brain where all that stuff.
You see, I have this terrible thing where I can't remember whether I was meant to tell nobody or everybody.
Oh.
And because actually I'm quite good at telling everybody.
Can
suddenly find I'm saying on Radio 2 on a Sunday morning and then you'll
I have to say, as a friend, as a secret keeper, I will take it to the grave. I am so good at keeping confidences because I love being that smug person who knows the thing. So I want you to always trust me tell me the thing.
What about setting up people? Because I always think of kind of that as that's a little bit.
Oh, I'd happily do that. I'd point people in the right direction, or what I thought was the right direction. Yeah, I'd do that. That's a bit like giving career advice.
And it's never, you've never had anything backfire? Because I think that's probably a little bit meddly as well. People who meddle, certainly on telly, always seem to have it backfire on them terribly.
See, I think the book Emma had a very profound effect on me when I was a child.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of like, you know, that was such a moral fable, wasn't it, that of not meddling.
And the film Clueless had exactly the same effect on me.
Clueless.
Exactly. No, you're right, though. That is a brilliant cautionary tale about just not to get in other people's way. But at the same time, sometimes you do need to get in their way a little bit, because otherwise you're not always caring about your friends. If you just,
I think sometimes you do have to stage an intervention, and I say that having done it, and it's hard. It's really hard because you are going to be the unpopular one. But if you think there is a home truth that has to be told, I would rather tell it and be unpopular than not tell it and watch something blow up.
Well, the way I would, and I have had to do that. You're right, but the way I would do it is, you know, sort of coming from the tough love place of concern. You know, sort of like, I'm worried. If you tell me you're all right, that's fine. But, you know, I'm talking like really heavy things like abusive relationships or drinking problems and stuff. You know, if that sort of thing, I think that then you probably do need to grow some balls and step up a bit, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. And also, but it's hard.
Well, yeah, and also hopefully I'm always quite grateful if a friend sort of steps in to help me realise my worth in a way, and I would hope to do that for my friends.
Is that meddling?
Well, it can be bolstering.
Yes, no, I love a bit of giving someone a confidence boost. I think if it is handing them a boost juice, in a conversation, say, right, take that away because you will feel better. And hopefully they will.
I suppose the main judgy thing I've ever done is if someone is going on for about 18 months about the same thing, then I might reach a point where I say, you know what, I can't talk to you about this anymore. You're boring me.
It's got to change
to death.
Then.
Yeah.
But that's about as judgy as I get.
Yeah. Actually, I did do that to somebody again. Because at Wimbledon, we see a lot of people for the first time in the year, and I want to catch up on everything. I did say to one person, right, if we are having this conversation in another year about your agent and you have not got rid of him and changed agent to someone you actually like and respect, then I will never talk to you again.
I've
had enough of it.
I mean, you don't want to hear that kind of stern word from Balding, do you? She doesn't upset anybody.
Had enough of it.
But at the same time, I have a long list and I will return to get your words.
Yes.
Yeah. Claire Balding, you've been absolutely excellent and so gracious to give us your time when it's just mad here. I can tell it's absolutely manic. But thank you so much for being Hey, It's Okay. We're so glad to have had you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And, you know, go and see who's going to go and score some more goals.
Go score some more goals.
Yeah.
I know.
Thank you, Kat Brown.
Thank you very much for having me, Jo. Yeah. It's been gorgeous.
And let's all go and have a
give you one more. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay to read children's books if you're over the age of 20?
Yes. Yes, it is. Of course it is.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't even get a discussion. That's
it's also okay to laugh in a non-ironic way at television shows like Ben and Holly. It totally is. It's so Python-esque. I recommend it.
Make us all feel younger.
Thanks, Claire.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.